How many children would come and tell you when they lost their virginity?
That's true. Oh, my gosh.
Can they hear the fact that I'm blushing?
Touch the Muppet Baby.
May the force be with you.
Because when I die, it's going to piss me off.
Oh, picturing my 2-year-old, the freedom to get all red-faced in the middle of the living room and just launch some ass candy into his diaper.
I never want to eat candy again.
Shut your face!
It's like, just like, why are you such an ass?
But it, deep down, I'm like, I'm always surprised that people listen.
And now look at us. We're doing an iPod in the dining room.
There it is. There it is. Now we are here back again with the Second Funniest Podcast. This is a special episode. I'm back at LPA. Those of you who are longtime listeners, remember we were here a few months back with Mr. Glenn Carrolls. This time, as you can see in the description, my guest is the illustrious Rick D'Amato. Did I say that right? D'Amato.
Yes, you did.
All right. I was confused.
That's very rare, too.
Very rare, right? I'm pretty good. Right? I pride myself on the last name. I did. I admittedly cheated, and I checked in with Rochelle, but because I'm an idiot, I'd already forgotten the check-in. So we're here to give another little bit of a backstory on how this whole thing started on my end, as I can't even remember the name of the I want to say The Sixth Hour is the name of the documentary. The 11th Hour. Thank you, Rochelle. I saw this documentary, and it was the first like kind of green documentary that I had seen where they actually gave you like ideas on, you know, what we should be doing, what we could be doing right now. So I said, you know what? I want to talk to people about this. I looked up your guys' company, found Rochelle. She said, sure. So now we're doing this thing where we're doing interviews on a regular basis. I'm loving it. I'm a big fan. So let's get into you, Rick.
Great. All right.
The man of the hour. How did you get into this? Because I know you also have other backgrounds with other companies, so we'll also get into that because I'm curious about that. But how did you get into the green architecture or sustainable architecture?
Well, actually, I've been at LPA for almost 23 years now.
23 years? These other jobs that you've had, were you doing them simultaneously? I'm worried about you. What happened?
No, I had two other jobs before. Actually, three other jobs in three different offices before this.
Before this?
Not very long standing, though.
Well, that's good. You're happy here, you're saying.
Well, let's just say LPA realized my potential. So.
Oh, I like the phrasing on that.
They tapped into it. So I guess the other firms didn't see that. But No. I kind of started out with a much smaller firm. I didn't really know what I wanted to do right out of school. So I decided that I wanted to go into a much smaller firm so I could have a much more hands-on approach to design. And it was more of a residential firm, although I was doing more of their commercial architecture. Whenever they tried to do commercial architecture, that's what I was doing. And I just started to realize that I really didn't want to do residential design for the rest of my life. I really wanted to start doing more commercial architecture. So I started to venture out and look for other opportunities. And that's what led me to LPA.
Now, as a kid, when you were growing up, did you already have an interest in buildings? And like, were you the kid that had 40,000 Legos, would never build the helicopter? You were always building like cul-de-sacs. What was the story there?
That's kind of a scary story. You really want to get into this?
Yeah. I love scary stories.
I was a total nerd when I was a kid.
Rick. You shut your face.
I know. I'm standing here before you. Yeah. Very cool, very together. But
yeah, I mean, you're a great looking guy. You look like, I would say you look more like a jock, is what, so the listeners. But I'm just saying, I'm playing up on the humor of the idea that the guy who goes in and builds what, I don't know, we can humorously call hippie buildings, right? That you would grow up a nerd. You like that, right?
That's
a good term.
Lot,
I made it up. I'm going to token it. We're going to have hippiebuildings.com. You can buy it from me after the show. But the idea of you growing up as a, because here's what I have. This is another theory. We'll get back to the thing, but I do have a theory that when guys grow up and they get older and they are super cool and super confident, like sure of themselves, like the vibe I'm getting from you, Mr. Yeah. D'Amato, the vibe so much I have to say Mr. D'Amato. Do you see how I did that?
You don't have to do that.
I don't? All right. Does it make you feel weird?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Okay, we'll go back. All right, Rick. Ricky. Rick Muno.
Actually, no.
No, just the big R.
Call me anything you want.
All right, Jerkosaurus Rex. Here we go.
Great.
But my point is that usually they come from like that nerdy background, right? Like I know it's hard to believe. I, too, was a nerd in high school. I was a big fan of Star Wars.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, I know.
I don't believe it.
Right? how funny is it that now we're doing this nerdy podcast together? I bring you into my realm and to find out about your world. It's
Wait,
great.
Which Star Wars? You're way too young.
How dare
Star
you?
Star Wars was my first car date, I want you to know.
Really?
16.
A car date?
Yes, car date. Borrowed mom's car and went to see Star Wars and got there late and had to sit in the front row.
Listen,
very impressive to the young lady, I might
This is
add.
Directed towards Rochelle, the fabulous PR person here at LPA. I'm tired of you bringing these guys that look like they could be 3 years older than I am and then finding out that they're old enough to have car dates when they go to Star Wars. I don't know what is in the water here. Maybe everybody should be living in these sustainable buildings, having open windows
have
or
you
something.
Seen this? Do you see what's going on here?
Listen, it looks like you're bald by choice.
Oh, hell no. Well, no, parts of it. Parts of it are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you let it ride, then the Picard look would happen, is what I'm assuming.
Go.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what's funny when you look like this? Everyone always wants to tell you you look like somebody.
Yeah.
And I've noticed as I get older, it started out a few years back, well, quite a few years back, as, you know, hey, you look just like Vin Diesel. Now I've gone into the Stanley Tucci phase, and I'm like, that sucks. God.
You know, I think doesn't even matter if you're bald, because you know what I get a lot is I get people say that I look like Jimmy Kimmel, which is really nice to look like the chubby guy on late night. That's what everybody wants to hear.
It's the eyes.
Is that what it is? It's the squinty. That's what I'm going with. It has nothing to do with the double chin or the gut.
It's
all in the eyes. If I didn't squint, then people would probably lean more towards Vince Vaughn.
There you go.
But anyway.
Actually, I could see
that. Yeah, I get that's the other one, only far less. I would much rather be known as the guy who could have dated Jennifer Aniston as long as he wanted to than the guy who got dumped by Sarah Silverman and the ugly guy on Late Night. That's what my preference would be. But this isn't about me.
Jennifer Aniston over Sarah Silverman, really.
Well, I mean, honestly.
This is taking an ugly turn.
No, I know. We'll get back on topic. We're two tangential guys. I'm picking that up already. Here's the thing. I would probably go both. Yeah, that's what I would do. I would go towards Jennifer Aniston, and I would feel it out. Because here's the thing. I'm a comedian. I know that I'm messed up in the head, right? So if I have to live with somebody who's just as messed up as I am, but see, I'm also banking. I'm living more on, like, what is the persona of Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You picking up
that.
What I'm putting down? Kind of the down-home girl. I imagine that if she had a man who's successful as I am, could take her away of the hard life of being a leading lady in every movie that she does, making millions of dollars, that she would want to just stay at home and bake some cookies for me.
You are a giver.
And rear my children. That's what I would do for her.
She's looking for
her. I know.
If she hears this, I'm sure you're going to get a phone
call. I'm sure she is. She's a listener. You'll be surprised to know, Big R. So you're a kid, you're a nerd, you're growing up.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. First, before we get back to that, I want to find out about car dates. Because I've never heard that phrase coined before.
Seriously?
Never.
Oh, jeez.
I feel like to have a car date is, so you, now, was
first
it?
First date I went on where I actually drove the vehicle.
So that's a car date where it's like mom and dad are taking you to the movie.
Took mom's 240Z.
Yes.
Yeah. Very nice.
See, now if I wasn't a nerd, I would know what that meant.
Oh,
so 240Z.
Well, you know, like now it's it's a Nissan. Well, it was a Datsun at the time. That's how old I am. Oh, God. You know, let's go on. Let's move
on. Literally outliving the auto industry. Congratulations. Yeah. But you look great. That's the thing. People like you should be punched in the face so that you could look a little bit closer to your age. That's what I'm saying. I still don't even know. Here's the thing. If I saw you in a Starbucks, I would say, look at this guy. 33 years old.
You're
rocking
so
it.
Full of it.
Rocking the baldness. He's got the soul
rocking
patch.
The
unbelievable. Yeah. This guy is amazing. Seriously. So anyway, so you're a young nerd. You're growing up. You decide that you want to make buildings. What first gets the fire going in a D'Amato?
Well, the first thing was I was in first grade actually, and we had to do a report on what we wanted to be when we grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And oddly, my dream was to be a construction worker.
Was it like a Village People influence, or what is it? What first drew you to the construction?
They didn't exist when I was in first grade. Right? You keep forgetting your timelines are really screwed up here.
And I don't mean it to be insulting. I feel like I keep setting you up, and sooner or later we're going to find out you're like a first cousin to Eleanor Roosevelt, and I'm going to apologize profusely. It's because I'm an idiot.
Eleanor Roosevelt Italian? Yes, she was.
I think when they got to Ellis Island, it was Roosevelto. They originally developed the Velveeta brand. I know that the Italians are big into Velveeta cheese and the things that it's brought to their cuisine. Yeah. Really? I would be? Oh, the rednecks and Italians come together at last.
I don't want to give away my mother's secrets. I know she's listening.
She's listening in on the radio, that Z40, not understanding why it doesn't get a podcast.
No idea.
So
I wanted to be a construction worker. And I went to my teacher and I said, you know, you can't find anything on a construction worker in the encyclopedia. And so she said, why don't you look under architect? And, well, the rest is history.
And then it all – wow.
So I did a report on wanting to be an architect. And my dad at the time was a contractor and owned a lumber yard. So he was all behind that. You know?
Yeah.
So he really, really kind of pushed me as a kid. And which was great. So he would take me – we lived in New York at the time. I lived in Long Island. So he would constantly take me into the city and show me buildings and,
Great.
And so he gave me kind of an understanding of architecture at a very early age, which was great. And then I took a horrible nerdy path where I would start to build entire cities out of cardboard. And I would stay up all night long doing this. And my mom still tells stories about this, which is frightening to me. But I would sit up all night and I would, you know, abscond the kitchen table, which really upset her because she's sort of a neat freak. So
yeah.
I'd have glue and, you know, cardboard everywhere. And then finally, my dad gave me the old poker table, you know, the old octagonal poker table, and set that up in my room. And so I had this table in my room and God, I can't. How many people listen to this?
Enough. Enough. Here's the thing. Enough to where people will know, not enough to where it should be embarrassing.
Damn.
Let's put it that way.
Okay. No, I can handle that. I can handle that. So I started in on my ultimate dream to build what I called Gilby Island Marina. And this was after my mother and father.
Gilby Island?
Well, hold on here, because dad's name was Gilbert. Mom's name was Beatrice. So I shortened it to Gilby Island Marina.
Honor.
Oh, yeah. In their honor. this is the worst part. Upon its completion, right, upon the grand opening of Gilby Island Marina, which contained an actual marina made out of blue construction paper covered with white glue to give it that, you know, that water look. Yeah. I had the mountain range with the high rent district of homes up on top there.
Uh-huh.
I had the Gilby Hilton, the Gilby Airport, you know, the whole nine yards.
You had some high rent hills. Okay.
I didn't have a lot of friends. No, truthfully, I used to eat lunch with the either the art teacher or the librarian in elementary school. So.
There's not a lot of difference between you and me. We are kindred spirits, you and me, D'Amato.
Yeah, but then I turned that crap around and became the homecoming prince in high school.
I got was most talented in the yearbook. That was the closest. The only reason people in high school knew who I was is because their English teacher required them to go see The Crucible. Other than that, there's no way anybody would have known. When they'd be like, Justin Warsham, is he the what? Oh, he's the guy that threw that stool in a piece of overdramatic portrayal of of John Proctor. Oh, okay, I like that part. Yeah. Justin Warsham, was he the guy that unnecessarily slipped tongue to Elaine as Mortimer in Arsenic and Old Lace? That guy was pretty cool. We ooed.
Nice.
I mean, come on. You're 16 years old. You got a kissing scene, right?
Yeah, you're gonna grab that.
You're gonna go for it, right? I'm a nerd. You know this, D'Amato. I don't have car dates. I don't even have a car at this point.
Okay. While you're slipping the tongue on stage, I was actually performing a disco dance medley with...
Because the village people had arrived.
By that time, they had arrived. Although my signature song was Heaven Must Be Missing an Angel by Tavares. So you don't even know that song.
I have no idea, but I love it already.
I'm a big fan.
That's why you have iTunes now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I actually performed on stage at the Estancia High School talent show. And
You did a disco dance number.
Yes, I did. Got removed right before the show, though, because a better act came on board.
You got bumped?
Got bumped.
You got bumped from a high school talent.
Oh. How sad is that?
What's up with that, D'Amato? We got to get back to this reunion. Heads are going to roll.
It was a bunch of girls singing, what was it? Oh, God, I remember they were wearing short, overalls, but they were shorts, and they were... Proud Mary. They were singing Proud Mary.
Proud Mary? Oh, that's some hacky crap.
They did a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
You're trying to do some real disco.
It was art.
Were a man who loved the art form
because you're dropping
a song that I don't know, right? But they do Earth. They do Proud Mary? Are you kidding
me? Exactly.
Really? It's going to take three of you to even come close to even touching Tina Turner's shoes.
But you see, 30 years later, I'm still bitter about this.
You should be.
I know.
This is an injustice. We're going back to New York. I tell you right now, we're turning these microphones off.
That was here.
In Southern California.
That's why, because
the people here are shallow and they don't understand.
I know.
They're trend followers. That's what they do here in
they
Los
don't
Angeles.
Recognize real talent.
Exactly.
When they see
it. And then when they fall upon it, they always like to take credit. Like, oh, see, this is what we do here. You know, this is how things are. You know, to bring it back full circle. I'm a victim of this in a lot of ways. I grew up in a redneck home, right? So the whole environmental aspect of it, it's like my family is more of the belief that we could crap all over the planet and then we'll be fine because we're best at best. The Social Security says we're going to make it to 82 as a man. That's the philosophy of the Warshams coming from Texas. And then I come down here and then I start mingling in with the hippie ways, as they say, right? I start interacting with people like a tomato. Like, am I even saying what's up with the last names here? Veturis? Is that right? Yeah, it's a toughie. Veturis and Tomato. Man, you guys sound like you could be like some kind of like mafia going on right here.
Well, we're equal opportunity here.
And then so. Carol. We had Glenn Carroll.
Carol's with an S.
Oh, crap. Oh, now I'm going to get offed by this hippie mafia is what's going to happen. All right.
Can Dutch Indonesians be hippies? That just doesn't sound right.
Dutch Indonesian?
That's what he is.
That's what he is.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a trip and a half, right?
I
don't claim to know global geography or even how to say the word, to be honest. But man, the Dutch built the hell out of a boat. They took it around to Indonesia, and then they made it happen. And that's how we had Glenn Carroll.
Out comes Glenn Carroll.
But let's get back to D'Amato.
Okay.
All right. So you grew up, you got bumped from the high school talent show.
We'll move on from that.
Yeah. Now, let's get into these other companies, because I did some research looking on, Rochelle sent me some stuff here. Now, you were working at a company called Blizzard, and did I read this right? And that it's a part of Activision, like video games? Is that?
I wasn't working with them. I did their headquarters, designed their headquarters.
You built the building.
Yeah, this is a
okay.
Few years ago.
All right, good. All right, because that's what I was curious about. Because I was like, if he was working for these guys, how do you make the jump from? No. So you built their building,
designed their there is
while interior. Working here at LPA.
Correct.
All right. Okay. Now I get it. So what? So now you did architecture the whole time then.
The whole time out of school?
Out of college, yeah.
In college, I actually had a little graphic design firm, so I have a background in graphic design.
Graphic design is where it started. Now, what led you to the idea of sustainable architecture? Was it a path you were always on? Or
well, if the thing that we always like to tell ourselves here at LPA, which I think is actually true, is that sustainable design and good design are really the same thing.
Yes.
And if you look back on all the great buildings over time, they were really, really cognizant of the environment, the culture, and the user. And that's what makes a great building. And at OPA, God, this sounds like a commercial, doesn't it?
No, it's all right. Oh, it's not a commercial if you mean it. All right, Tomato?
I mean it.
You mean it. Yeah, exactly. Here's what I'm here. I'm here like a magician has somebody check an orange. You know what I mean? I'm here to make sure that you're being sincere. You're not just sitting here plugging everything away. You mean it. That's why I like this company. That's why I like Rochelle bringing me in here, introducing me to all these people. Because you mean it. You care about it.
Yeah.
And you should. Why? Because this is, again, the overall, like, the tone of all of these episodes that we're going to do with you guys is going to be like, why the hell not?
Yeah.
What?
And that's kind of how it all happened here. Because people always ask us that, you know, well, how did you just stumble on green design? And it's not like all of a sudden one day we went, hey, you know what? We're going to be this green design firm. It was something that it was inherent in this firm, I think, even from day one. I mean, mm-hmm. I've been here for almost 23 years. And as long as I've been here, that's been something that's just inherent in what we do. It's how we approach a project.
So again, really what I'm reacting to is the new movement, of everybody else kind of catching on to what you guys have. Exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
Again, getting back to this LA thing, you're trying to do some hot disco number that's really like relevant.
Wow, you had to bring that back up.
I apologize.
Again,
I'm sorry. You know why?
No, I did go on to win contests. I want you to know.
I believe it. You should have. You should have won that one. I want to go back and I want to take it back. We've got to find these chicks, you know, Mindy Pinkerton or whatever the hell her name is. She's got to be the head one. You know, it's like the poodles or something like that from Greece. Like, that's what these ladies are. And we're going to get after them. We're going to find them.
But you know, if you could have seen it, I was rocking the fake silk shirt with the picture of King Tut, you know, on the front of it. It was all happening for me, man.
That's great.
It was awesome.
I'm a big fan.
I don't know how they turned me down.
Because they're stupid. They didn't see talent. Much like in my situation.
This is terrible. I got to get over this.
No, it's not bitter. It's not bitter.
Oh, no, I'm bitter.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. Then go for it. Here's the thing. People try too hard to be nice. All right? Listen, I'm going to say
it. Right there on the table.
I'm going to say it. I know we're in a corporate building, but these little bitches, all right? With their pompous arrogance.
Say stuff like that?
They came in. It's the internet. You can say whatever you want.
Awesome.
Here's the thing. I'm not going to speak for D'Amato, all right? These are not words that are coming out of his mouth. This is Justin Warsham's interpretation of the horrible injustice that happened, what I'm going to call a few years ago, back here in Los Angeles. And these stupid little bitches, they come in here with their Proud Mary, their hit song, right? Something that had already been done. It's like,
and
it's like,
you were awful. You know, I could have rocked those damn short off rolls. I could have done that. But no, no.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to fix this. I'm going to come back here in 30 days with a video camera. And you're going to, I'm going to give you 30 days to rehearse. I'm going to give you 30 days to look on eBay to find you that King Tut fake silk shirt. And we're going to make it happen. And we're going to bring them in here and watch and go, you know what? Our Proud Mary was nothing. Nothing compared to the beautiful magic that we just witnessed.
You're assuming that I don't still have that shirt.
There you go. See, it's all ready. It's ready. It's in the can. It's,
I'm good to go.
Let's make it happen. So you're here. You're at LPA. What's like? Give me like a first project that you went into or that you did here. Is it?
It was a kind of a tilt-up R&D industrial park, which used to be sort of our bread and butter here. So kind of like what you're in right now,
yeah.
Which we actually designed too. That's what we used to do a lot of. We were pioneers, really, in making tilt-up a more sort of acceptable building style.
What is tilt-up for the layman and idiot such as myself?
Tilt-up concrete panels. Like if you look out here, these walls are actually formed on the ground, and they're poured concrete.
So much in the way that the Amish have a barn raising. Only what you've done.
Wow,
you know what's
that's
horrible?
A great analogy.
Oh, good. Okay,
that.
Good. Because I'm,
love that. That's
I'm seriously,
exactly.
I'm a high functioning moron. I really am, Rick. So, like, that's what my mind has to wrap around. I have to look at the people who deciding to live archaic lifestyle in the modern world. I have to go. Okay, so you poured them on the ground.
Yes.
And then you lift them up.
Right.
And so, what's the advantage to that?
Well, it used to be used a lot for more industrial type applications because you don't actually have to build a wall structure.
Yeah.
You can actually use that concrete tilt-up wall as your complete and total wall. So it's concrete on the inside, concrete on the outside. You save all that money in drywall and stuff on the inside.
Oh, very, so it's very inside and out. Don't it? Oh.
Exactly. It's been since adapted into more office uses like this, and we do go ahead and do the drywall on the interior and the insulation and all of that. However, it's still a very economical way to build a wall. You're not doing all the studs and all that kind of stuff. So, and there's no outside sheathing or anything like that. So.
Nice. And I would imagine like a concrete building is a little bit cooler than like a regular, because I don't know. I noticed
be.
That when, you know how when you go into a parking garage, how it's always cooler, it seems, in there? Or is that, am I?
Typically because they're probably underground. But
Well, that's what we do this for, Rick. We do this to educate people. And some of them are smarter than others. And some of them aren't. So you did like an industrial park was the first time, which is, I guess, for me, it's the place where it's kind of like where all of the FedEx. If you're going to FedEx in your hometown, it's usually located in an industrial park.
True.
That's what it'll look like. A bunch of square buildings with roll doors and things of that nature.
And we were damn good at that.
I bet, we were
damn good at that. That was in like 1980s.
So you're tearing up in 86, right? Lord. Back to the future's coming out, and you're out there concrete tilting like there's no tomorrow.
There you go.
Right? Making it happen. And then where does it go from there then? Like, so you were doing that. So do these become like cookie cutter things here at LPA at this time? Or?
We never
where it's
really
just like we're cranking them out.
Yeah, we don't approach things like that. So that's kind of one of the ways that we kind of revolutionized tilt-up is that we didn't approach it from a cookie cutter standpoint. We gave tilt-up design a personality. And that really started to do a lot for our business because people sought us out because we were able to take this affordable style of architecture, affordable, efficient style of architecture, and make it something meaningful.
Class it up.
Class it up.
Very much unlike what those bitches did to Proud Mary, I'm sure. There's nothing classy about it.
What can you do in a pink shorty jumpsuit or overalls? Really?
Really? That sounds slutty to me. I could be honest. No.
Kind of like that.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. I might be leaving the D'Amato camp. I don't know.
If I would have known, we would have gone
King
in this direction. I actually have photos of these chicks. I do.
I know.
There's a lot of dart holes in it, but I have the photo.
Oh, that's great. So then the other thing that I kind of want to talk about, we're doing great. Well, the other thing I kind of want to touch on with you, too, is that because I think we talked a lot about the work that LPA does with Glenn and everything. But what I think is unique about you is that you actually redesigned your own home and made
correct.
A sustainable home, which here's what I think is super cool and classy. And I could have misread the literature on this, but your home has a name. Am I right? Does it have a name, right? What's the name of your home?
The name of the street. I just call it Los Flores.
You call it Los Flores.
Yes. That's like pretty that. Cool, isn't
right?
it?
The house has a freaking name. Are you kidding? See, this is what's great about you, D'Amato. You can't pull that off when you're living in a quadplex.
Sure you can.
No.
It's the quad.
No. The quad.
You can give anything a name.
I love this. I'm a big fan of you better. Already. Seriously, this is great. Because I live on Hortense. So that's
there
what
you
my,
go, Hortense.
I class it up by going Hortense the quad.
Oh, that's the street name, Hortense?
Yeah, right?
That's bad, yeah. man. That's
it sounds
bad.
More like a situation than it does a street. You understand what I'm saying?
Affliction, yeah. yeah.
One that would
I've
be beneficial to her work.
Back.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay. All right.
For that, I've heard.
So, Los Flores, you find this house. How long ago did you find this house?
It's just coming up 5 years now.
5 years now you've had this house. Mm-hmm. So you're looking around for a home, right? And you're saying...
Well, actually, no. It goes back a little further. I really wanted to build my own house. I mean, that's like an architect's dream.
From right? the ground up
ground
is what
up,
you're saying.
Ground up. So I live in Long Beach. Mm-hmm. I found a lot, which I loved. It was great. Right in the right area, and it was remarkably well-priced. So I figured, this is it. I'm going to build my own house. So I met with a couple contractor friends, and I showed them some rough sketches, and I said, you know, can you build this for this amount? Because I had so much money to spend and not a penny more. And I had a couple of them say, oh, yeah, no problem. Yeah, we could build two of those for that. So I bought the lot, designed the house, went through permitting, did the whole thing, you know, got the thing ready to go, brought it back to the contractor, and it was three times the amount that they had told me originally, and I could not afford to do it.
Wait a minute. That
yeah,
doesn't
I know,
sound like
I know,
right
I know,
business.
I know,
that's
I know.
Not how you don't give a man an estimate. And what does this guy think he is, a mechanic? That's not fair.
Well, with all due respect, I mean, I did make a few modifications to the original plan. But, you know, I did work on it a while, tried to bring that number down, but I just couldn't get it to anywhere near where I could actually afford this. So I'm sitting on this piece of land. So I wound up losing a bunch of money on the land. And I was living in a rental at the time because I had sold my other house and decided I'm going to live in a rental, save money, you know, put towards this house. Mm-hmm. So I'm stuck in this crappy ass rental.
Much like Hortense de Quad is what it sounds.
Oh, but the street was called Grand, way better than
Grand de Quad. That's a good one.
So I'm stuck in this rental, and I actually had a couple friends living with me at the time because I was like trying to save money, so it wasn't the best situation in the world. So finally I started, you know, I kind of figured I had to move on. So there was this neighborhood in Long Beach I'd always wanted to live in. It's called Park Estates. Great, great old neighborhood right by the university. I'd always driven through there and kind of dreamed one day, yeah, I'm going to live in this great neighborhood. And so I just said, let me just go check this out. So I'm driving around. I went to this house I really liked. Of course, it was overpriced. I'm like, I can't afford this. So I called the realtor up on the house, and I said, is there anything else that you've got available here? She says, well, there's this dumpy little, you know, crap hole over on Los Flores. She goes, it's overpriced for what it is. It needs a ton of work. It's not even inhabitable at this point. She goes, but go check it out. And I drove by, and I said, this is it. This is the house I've been looking for. And it was a crap hole.
Yeah.
It had been lived in a couple bought it in 1951, and they lived there ever since. The husband had died, and I think he still haunts the house. I've had friends of mine who swear they see him around there, but I'm fine with that. He hasn't hurt me, and I don't seem to bother him. So. And the wife had lived there.
Los Flores.
Oh, God, it's like a bad made-for-TV movie, isn't it?
Not bad at all. Are you kidding? We got to get Hollywood on the horn.
Yeah, there you
They're
go.
Just about a 30-minute drive, not in traffic, from where you are. Make it happen.
So I bought the house. And the woman that had lived there hadn't done anything for – I think the house was still the original color, which was this sort of off pistachio green. Never did anything to the outside. It was just – it was a pit. The windows were all painted shut and couldn't be opened. The roof was shot. There was a 5-foot-long beehive in the attic of the house.
Oh.
Yeah, which they said was active for a good 5 years that she never even knew about. So this poor woman's living there with a – the city actually came out and took pictures of it because they'd never seen anything like this. Like,
she could have been charging
woman,
them rent at that.
Exactly. The electricity was shot to the point where she had extension cords like going through and, you know, taped up on the walls because she only had like 2 working outlets in the house. I mean, it was a mess. The oven didn't work. The only thing that worked was the heating system because she had that replaced.
If you're an old lady, you got to have the heat.
If you want a great heating system, find an old person and buy their house because that's the only thing they'll sink money into is that heating system, right? So I saw this house and I realized the potential. But what I think I realized more was the potential for it to be a statement about green design.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, I was kind of really glad that I wasn't able to sort of take this lot and build this house from the ground up. Because this showed that you can actually take something that most people would find worthless and sort of repurpose it.
Mm-hmm.
When I moved into this neighborhood, it was really funny because, excuse me, a lot of the houses have been remodeled and rebuilt and, you know, two stories now. And
yeah.
The neighborhood used to have this, excuse me, amazing scale of these one-story houses on sort of larger lots. So when I came in, all the neighbors, you know, this house was sort of an eyesore. Like, oh, you're going to tear it down? You know, I'm like, no, I'm going to save it. And they're like, what the hell?
Oh, crap.
Exactly. Well, since then, not to toot my own horn.
Exactly,
but,
I was going to say.
We were asked to be on the cover of the Park Estates calendar. So.
Hey-o. Take that, proud Mary bitches.
Shove that, yeah. But we denied them because, you know, figuring that we're too good for
Yeah,
them.
you don't want to saturate the market with your pictures of your home. You want to be more selective. You want to wait for Tom Hanks to come a knocking and say, I want to do the next Dan Brown novel. I want to shoot it at your house. How do you feel?
I'd feel pretty good about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right?
But, you know, what's funny is that our neighborhood is used for, if you ever watch CSI Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And there's residential neighborhoods. That's my neighborhood.
Really?
Yeah. They'll come back to Park Estates. They just were filming there last week. So I keep, you know, waiting for them to film on our street. I don't want them to film at my house because I think they'll trash it. But my street would be a good thing.
Yeah, that's right. If they come to Los Flores.
Exactly.
The what's involved in that? Like, you left a large part of the structure or whatever could be maintained,
I tried to maintain as much of the house as possible. Trying to keep as much away from the landfill as I could.
Yeah.
I tried to donate as much of the materials that I took off the house to either charities or friends or whoever wanted to take it so I didn't have to trash it. Like the old doors and windows. I had a friend of mine who was restoring a house, and so she took a lot of the old doors and windows and used them in her building, which was great. The old oven I gave to a friend of mine, and she had it restored and uses it in her house now.
What about the heater? Did you donate to that?
No, I kept the heater. The heater is awesome. Are you kidding
me,
man?
You can't let that go.
And that took up a space like over the living room that you can't believe. And this thing is huge.
Really?
Yeah, so I kept that. It's awesome, man. It's like a microwave when you turn that thing on.
It eats you from the inside out.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
I can cook hot dogs on the living room floor and set them out there.
That's great. Sustainability at its best.
Exactly.
My living room floor, also a stovetop. You want some pancakes? Throw it on the floor.
You got it.
Make it happen. We're going to crank this baby up to 85. Let's make it happen. I don't care if it's summer.
Great. So I looked at the house, and the thing about this house, like built in 1951, a lot of the homes built at that time were designed by firms in the Midwest that never saw the site. So it was like a cookie cutter type of thing. It was a prototype house probably that they built 1,000 of in that
Now, area. Why would that be? Why would it be that a company, is it just like a development firm, like an architectural firm, would sell these to developers for cheap?
Exactly.
So they could get drawings that they could easily submit to the city for to be permitted and zoned and all
exactly.
that stuff? Okay.
I mean, I've seen my particular house in just about every city I've ever been in the United States. You know, oh, there it is again.
Got that heater, though.
Very
they don't have that heater.
They don't have that rockin' heater, man.
Yeah.
So the first thing I did was I saw, what can I do to this house to make it more specific to this site.
Mm-hmm.
So that involved sort of reorienting some of the windows, doing like you go to any house in California, practically any like, you know, production type house, and you'll see the, you know, the 10 foot between two houses, and then there's windows on that 10 foot. So you're staring into, you know, your neighbor's kitchen or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So immediately I took off all the windows on those sides of the house, and those were the bad orientations anyway.
Yeah.
And I repositioned them so that, well, the house is L-shaped. So I created a courtyard so that I can kind of control my own views. Control my own environment, and then oriented the windows either to the courtyard or the backyard so that I completely controlled the environment and the views. And things
now, I was
like
curious
that.
About this in that because I know that when we talked to Glenn last time that there is an aspect of taking in like which way the sun
exactly.
will cross and all that stuff and what the usual wind patterns are
exactly.
and things like that. So I thought when you're looking for this house that you had to find a lot that accommodated for all that, but that's not what you did.
No.
You found the house that was convenient for you for the pocketbook, essentially, and
exactly.
then you tweaked it and made it at work. And because here's the thing, I think that if not for this reason alone, there is not a person listening or a person who isn't listening, unfortunately for them, that cannot relate to the idea. I have a light and the sun will shine right at my face when I'm sleeping. Who has never lived in a house where it's like, why does the sun come through here? Who has never had a football game ruined because they have
exactly.
to close the blinds
exactly.
and it glares off of their nice television? I can't watch movies during the day because the sun is beating down.
See, I can't. I designed my whole world around television viewing, so
right?
I know whereof you speak. Yeah.
That's what I call sustainable. That would sustain me. That could sustain me for a lifetime, right? You checking out your own neighborhood on
exactly.
CSI Miami? You want it to look good.
I want it to look good. could.
All right.
So anyway, I reoriented the window so that everything either opens to the north or the south. And that also happened to be conducive to wind flow through the house or ventilation. So I took out – there was an old air conditioning system that didn't actually work. Took that all out. So now the house is all naturally cooled, which really works well. So it's all operable windows. And during the summer, I can open the house up and you get a great breeze through it. One thing that I really tried to do, though, was I tried to buy everything off the shelf. I didn't want too much custom design, built, custom whatever. So all the windows are bought off the shelf. Most of the products that I use you can find at Home Depot. I wanted to kind of really test myself and see if I could design something that just anybody can kind of take a house and convert it into great design and great kind of green profile for a home.
Really?
And I've done a lot of articles on this, and I think it really should be sort of the wave of the future, because there's a lot of homes out there that, especially in Southern California, that just are not appropriate for the site or for the environment or even for the user.
No.
And this house really didn't fit my lifestyle either, and I had to really tweak it to get it to sort of work for me. But it wasn't difficult. It was something that I really enjoyed doing too. And now the house is very custom to who I am. It's very custom to the environment, custom to the site, and I love it. I love the house. It's a great kind of resort environment for me, which is what I've always wanted.
Yeah.
To go home and feel like you're living in a resort.
It is, because I've seen the pictures that the outside courtyard where is it a pool and a spa? I noticed that there's like a divider between. So you have a pool and a spa there, and it does. It looks like you're hanging out in the middle of, and I think actually you mentioned this, because when I saw it, I go, it looks like I'm at a very small hotel or something in Palm Springs.
Yeah,
like something that's very intimate, that it's like, you know, because and I think this is also part of the landscaping is that you chose plants that would be indigenous to the area where they don't need a lot of rainfall or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, not that Long Beach is a desert, you know what I mean?
It's all a desert here.
Exactly. That's the thing I think people forget about Los Angeles, me being one of them, is that nobody really should be living here.
Yeah,
really. Nobody, technically, where this is not a place, you know what I mean? Like, you look at Europe and parts of Europe, it's like when culture starts to happen and then people descend upon an area. Like, when you go there, I always find that when I went to Spain once, and people are like, oh my gosh, the weather here is so beautiful. Everything is so nice. It's so perfect. Like, there's no humidity and everything. Like, yeah, because thousands of years ago, jackasses, people came here and said, this feels great. Let's put up a hut. What do you say? Huh, Ngala?
So true.
Let's put up a hut over here and let's make it happen. And then huts turned into like bricks, and then bricks turned into like streets. And then now you have this nice place for people to go and eat whole shrimps on top of rice. That's what happens.
Does Ngala make shoes now?
Oh, if he does, he's making them right. He's making them right. He's got a right place to put them. He's doing it in a good way. I would like to see him do some Proud Mary, actually. I would like to see him take his trend-setting ways. It's funny to me. Well, here's the thing. I'm desperately trying to remember the song that you sang, but all I keep pulling is Proud Mary, which further proves the hacky point that these chicks pulled off.
You see?
You had a song again that I just heard it not 20 minutes ago, and I can't remember it to save my life. Because
I'm not even going
to
tell you.
I know, you shouldn't, because it's humorous that I can't remember. And then after this is all over, here's what's going to happen tomorrow. After this is all over, you're going to tell me the name of that song. It's going to be in my iTunes playlist, and that's
it's going to be
five stars.
I bet it is.
Maybe we close with you singing it. Maybe that's what we do.
Oh, yeah, we could. I didn't sing it. I danced to it.
Oh, all right. Never mind.
Big
Let's
difference.
Move on. Not that you couldn't sing. I'm not saying that. I'm sure you're a fantastic singer. I'm picking up like a baritone vibe. A baritone?
Yeah, I wouldn't even know.
You would know. All right, good. So let's get back. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about in looking at the picture, and I'm assuming it's okay. We'll put a link up to see the – is that photo gallery? Is that okay if I put a link in the description? Okay, look in the description, and you can see D'Amato running around in his skivvies. No, that's not true.
Wait, what pictures do you have?
Some kind of webcam that she said. Was this not okay?
You know, I never got paid for that. So
really?
Not okay.
Oh, well, this is awkward now. This is exactly what we were trying to avoid, and now it's happened. I apologize.
If you'd like to pay me for it, though, you're free to do with the pictures.
The people will enjoy the disco numbers. I will be honest. Poolside disco numbers every night, a Wednesday,
well,
right after CSI.
When you see the picture, I did put little LED lights in the floor for just such an event.
So when you step on them, they light up, and you do a little John Travolta Saturday Night Fever.
He thinks I'm kidding. There really are.
No, I know. I know. I don't know if you step on them, they light up, or that it's for the purposes of having a disco party.
Always a party.
Always on. Never stop rolling. But the windows, I was curious about this because you did mention that there's nothing that's really like custom made, and I hope this isn't coming across as like I got you because I don't think I did.
Okay, I'm going to stop you. There are three doors that are custom.
Three doors. Okay, but the windows is what I'm really because. Yeah. This is what I like, is that the unfortunate part about where, you know, the Hortense de Quad, where Justin is living.
Well, that sounds nice.
Right?
I see that.
Here's the thing. It sounds really good on paper. Maybe when I add the accent, the Spanish, Hortense de Quad.
There you go.
You know, when I get all Ricardo Montalban on it, then it definitely sounds much nicer than what it is.
Now,
but
how do you know Ricardo Montalban and you don't know Tavares?
What do you mean? Tavares, that's the singer. I don't know who he is. Is he related to Montalban?
Oh, what's Lord, his? It was a group. It
here's
a
why
group
I know Ricardo Montalban. He was Khan in.
There you go.
Yeah, in Star Trek.
Her.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Exactly. I'm sorry. See, I forgot to put that together.
I started watching Fantasy Island because I thought he was going to be chasing Bill Shatner around in a dream. And then they just kept having these B-rate actors come on and like live out their fantasy. I'm like, this is boring. The only interesting part is the little fellow with the accent. But he's gone, and both of them are gone. God rest their souls.
Hervé
was his name?
Hervé Villechaize. My God, how do I remember that? I have a complete mind for this.
You got a lockdown. Oh, yeah, that's what you do. Yeah. Now what's going to happen? You're going to have a Fantasy Island disco party, and you're welcome, D'Amato. The windows that you have, so what I was going to say is that Hortense de Quad, I have a place that it can literally be 65 degrees outside, but in my apartment, it's 78. Nice. And I don't understand. Nice. And I try to avoid running the air conditioner. I open up windows, but here's what they did. They built the garages so that there could be ventilation, I'm assuming, because I can definitely hear the crazy cat lady hoarder. I can smell everything coming out of her jam-packed filled garage through my house, but there's not enough cool breeze. I don't understand how it works.
You know, maybe you should move.
Oh, it's coming. Daddy's moving to Bel Air if you can
there
get
you
it.
Go. Are you?
I'm applying for a property manager job with my wife in Bel Air at this apartment complex. I'm like, I think I can handle living
there
it
you
up.
Go.
It would be like on now I've already forgot that. Gilby Island. I'm going to be in the hills is what I'm going to be.
Well, you know, that's how my dad lived the life when he was a kid in New York City. His dad managed an apartment building on Park Avenue and they got to live in it.
If you need
idea.
A place, a way to live, and you can handle unclogging a sink or something like that, in Los Angeles, they get a little bit more selective, I think, because like if it's more than 16 units, you have to have a real estate license. But luckily, Daddy's mama has one. So I got a sugar mama, got her real estate license, gonna get me rent-free crib, y'all. So we'll keep our fingers crossed for that. But I do need to move because I do have a stinky, smelly, crazy cat lady that lives up in the front. I feel bad. Like if you had to move in, if a D'Amato comes in to try and make this place sustainable, here's what you do: you level that front part of the building and you turn it into a compost pile because there's enough feces and urine to get anything going and decomposing.
It's difficult to do when you're renting too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I feel bad. I used to help my dad. He had a bunch of rentals, and I feel bad for the people that own this place because they literally are just going to have to, when she leaves, they're going to have to just set it ablaze because there's no way anything is going to be salvageable. Like, oh, it's horrible. But anyway, back to Los Flores.
There you go, Los Flores.
So the windows you have, from what I understand, they almost like they like tilt up like the
awning.
Bit like
it's called an awning window. Yeah.
Awning window. Yeah. Now it's not on a center axis. It's like slightly up above that,
well,
right?
Well, actually, they're pretty cool, and they are store bought. They're right off the shelf.
I believe you.
You can actually unhook them, and they'll go completely horizontal. It's
really?
Cool. Yeah.
And so you just get that Long Beach.
Yeah, there you go.
You're coming in there.
I'm there, man. Then I also have their awning windows, and then the other windows are like more casement style. Windows and things like that. So the awning windows are the ones that open to sort of the outside world. So,
mm-hmm.
All the other ones, it actually the whole house can open up. It's really nice.
So you can literally like, and the way that the house is arranged because I'm always curious about this. Like where they talk about, and we talked about it a little bit with Glenn, is that there are ways that you can kind of bounce the sunlight through the house, mm-hmm. or just get sunlight through all parts of the house. Can you talk a little bit about the methods that you used at Los Flores for that?
Well, the first time I walked in the house, the thing that really struck me was how sort of cordoned off the house was. There were, you know, the kitchen had doors into it, and you know everything was closed off with doors and walls. So basically, what I did is went in and just opened the house up,
mm-hmm.
took down walls, took down doors, and almost created. If you've seen the interior pictures, it almost has sort of a loft feel to it.
Yes,
which enabled the light to really just penetrate the house. The other thing I did is I use solo tubes, which bring light in from up above. And solo tube is it's a really great system. Really affordable. We've actually used them commercially too. It's basically sort of a bubble skylight that sits on the roof, and then there's an actual tube that comes through from that skylight, and you kind of position it wherever you want, and it basically reflects the light and fills your room with sunlight. So I've got those in my
room. So the sun travels like a hamster through a habit trail down to where you want it.
Exactly. It's awesome.
And really?
They're really affordable, and you can get them in all different sizes, and mine actually have fans attached to them because they're in the bathroom, so the fan is way up at that bubble level, so you don't even hear the fan in the bathroom, which is great. You get all the sunlight you need.
And the fan is used to, like, take rising heat out of the house, or what's the purpose of the fan in
like
the solo tube?
Like any bathroom fan.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. Gotcha.
That's in the bathroom. But, yeah, so the house pretty much is just filled with daylight. It faces the backyard faces south, so I built a canopy structure over which doesn't appear in the pictures because I just finished that, over the top deck that sort of shields the south light from coming into the house. Uh-huh. And allows all sort of the good sort of ambient light to come in. And then the north side faces the front courtyard, which is really nice. So I get a lot of really good natural daylight in the house, which I love.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then the other thing too that I was curious about, and I don't is that like, is there anything that is done on your end, like with like drainage water or anything, or is that all done through the city, or how does that aspect of the house work?
As far as like stormwater and things
like
that?
Yeah, things like, well, I know that, because here's the thing, like one of the things I saw in this documentary, and he definitely threw it out there what I would call Star Trek science, and that I don't think it's necessarily applicable now, but he said that there you could put mushrooms in a garden and let the water come out from your washing machine, and the mushrooms will take up all of the soap and stuff out of the water, and then without their yeah, exactly. This is
what the hell are you talking?
Exactly,
that's
yeah,
a good one.
Yeah, I need to go back and watch this 11th hour because that was another thing where I'm like, what? Really? We just put a garden of, because all I kept thinking about is that I feel like mushrooms need poo to grow, and I feel like that is not sustainable in
it's
a domicile.
Not from your washing machine. If it is, you've got bigger problems.
Well, I do have a baby, and he does have a tendency to, you know, sorry, he's monkeyish in his living. But God bless him. But yeah, like I'm right in that there's nothing at least out there that any of us in this room are aware of that could make that happen, right?
Well, I actually collect the rainwater from the roof, so I've got I use rain chains that gather the water. I've got
rain chains.
Instead of like a downspout like uh-huh. you typically see, I've got chains that come from the roof, and the water sort of follows the chain into a giant sort of a pot element that I collect the rainwater.
Wow.
And then the other one, I've got a couple of them go directly into planters, so they feed planters around the house. So I try and keep that water on site and actually use it.
And then the rainwater that you gather on the roof is what you use to maintain the landscaping, or is it also like bathing or toilet water, or how does that all work?
I wash my hair with it.
You wash your hair with it. He is bald.
I'm kidding.
That was great. I'm a big fan of this D'Amato.
I brought it all the way back.
You did. You're doing great, kid. You're doing great. Why am I calling him kid? He went on car dates.
To Star Wars, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's bring it all the way back.
For the record, because I never answered that question, I saw all of the movies. The first one came out 2 years before I was born.
My father. And I was sitting there next to Amy Butcher in the front row, and mm-hmm. you weren't even born.
I wasn't even born.
Wow.
I was swimming around in my dad's junk, to be vulgar. I'm sorry.
Nice.
So then my dad had this thing where he took me to all the movies, because I think the next one came out in, what, 82? Am I right?
Yeah, I'm not a big Star Trek or Star Wars person.
Huh?
So.
82. That's when she was born? Are you kidding?
Holy crap.
Look at this.
I might as well be Stanley Tucci.
I don't think he was born then.
I really think he was.
I'm sorry, D'Amato. We'll hug it out after this. It'll all be fine. We'll have a good cry to Proud Mary, and it'll be a very cathartic experience, and we'll get to move on. So let's just I don't want to go into too much of like personal financials or whatever, but I do think that people like should be doing this, you know, especially those that can't afford it and things like that, because what's the tune? Like, what does it go to kind of make if I want to hippie-ize my house, for lack of a better term, you know what I mean? Hippify. How much money do I need to have in the bank? How much Skrilla?
I think that the real key to a good remodel is to phase it, because then you can afford afford it a little easier. So
by phasing, you mean doing in steps?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I actually had three phases to the remodel. Kind of the initial, let's get in the house and you just be able to live there. And then I did a kind of a minor expansion. And then I came back a couple years later and did that canopy I just talked about and a couple tweaks, you know, here and there. I keep changing the landscape, oddly enough, but I think I finally settled in on something I like. But the first kind of big step that I took to kind of get the house up and running, that was about $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
But that included the pool. I mean, that included a lot of kind of big ticket items. But I also was my own contractor and actually did a lot of the work myself, which I wouldn't recommend.
Oh.
You got all excited there. Yeah. I wouldn't recommend.
Well, you're talking to a guy who grew up with, it sounds like to me that you and I both had kind of like blue collar type dads, right?
Yeah,
So my dad was the kind of guy that he would build a deck in a weekend.
Like my dad still does that, which is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My father
just did that. The man's 75.
My father had a heart attack at 50, then he's also like, but he's still that guy. Like, he's the guy who's like, after he's got the, well, now you got that clog out, let's run around. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. And the nurse is like, the doctor told him after they removed the clot from my dad's artery, they said, you need to calm down. He goes, no, I feel great because the blood's flowing to my brain now. I don't know why my dad turned into Bill Cosby on that one. But the blood is coming to my brain and it's making me feel good. That was not even Bill Cosby. Anyway. But he did. He got all excited, and so they had to. They said, "Listen, Mr. Warsham, if you don't calm down, we're going to sedate you." And he kept cracking jokes, so they sedated him.
Well, my dad, at 70, married a 26-year-old.
What?
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're actual ballroom dancers.
What?
And they actually compete. It's
when
amazing.
I went, listen.
Oh yeah, you need to interview my dad.
I love my family, but I'm very quickly wanting to join this D'Amato clan.
My dad's my hero. Man.
There's a lot going on, as he should be.
Oh, yeah,
are you kidding me? Ballroom
he's
dancing a with
guy.
A 26-year-old?
Oh, yeah. Latin ballroom dancing. Yeah.
Wait, is she Latina?
No, she's Filipina.
Oh, that's almost better.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
She kind of looks like she kind of looks like a short Jessica Alba.
What?
I'm serious.
What?
I'm not kidding.
Oh my gosh.
Where did this interview go wrong?
It's not wrong. Are you kidding? It's all right. It feels so good.
It's so right. It's so right.
It just feels so right. Much like Tavares. I've already forgot the name again.
Tavares. My God.
I'm sorry, Rick. Is there any? Because here's the thing. If I know that you said that you had some big ticket items, like what if somebody wanted to start to do like a retrofit or something on their house and maybe not to the scale that you did at Los Flores. like, what would be a ballpark figure of the amount of money that they should have put aside to, you know?
I think you could do something great for, you know, 25 grand. Not even that. It all depends on the bones of the house.
Yeah.
And my house had really good bones. The floor plan was great. It was exactly what I wanted. So it was more or less kind of tweaking the aesthetic, opening the house up. And then the real money came into the exterior of the house because it was a mess. You know, the yard, the pool. It had a garage that was falling down that needed to be rebuilt.
Oh, okay.
There was an old tool shed kind of stuck on the side of the garage, which I turned into an office. So that was a little bit expensive. Replacing all the windows and doors, the electricity, plumbing had to be all replaced. So that's where most of your
coin was spent on the basically still using the foundation and everything that was there, but you had to like update it.
Right.
You know, and because here's the other thing I'm curious about is that because I think a lot of people will listen to this like, well, $25,000, you know, but I think the part that needs to be remembered is that that also can help save you a lot of money in efficiency.
Oh,
am I right with utilities?
Hell yeah.
Especially.
Yeah.
And now they have like grants and stuff like that.
Exactly.
You can get kickbacks from the states or even the federal government. So there is a payoff.
Your photovoltaic solar panels, that's something I'm looking at now. That's why I built that canopy I was telling you about.
Uh-huh.
That's actually going to support PV panels.
Oh.
That'll actually...
I want to do that. I want to do that at Hortense de Quad. I want to do that. Yes.
And like I did things like a... the water heater, tankless water heater. That's what I'm looking for.
Tankless water heater. What is that?
It's almost like an Insta-Hot for water where you don't have a constant tank of water that you're heating. It's basically an electrical device that heats the water instantly.
Oh.
Yeah.
For a second, I thought, but this would involve a tank because I've been to Mexico, and in Mexico, they have big black tubs that they use the sun to heat the water.
That's another great way to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
But I need more hot water.
I get it. I get it. You know, D'Amato, he's got to do two or three numbers in the shower. That's what he does.
Oh, you know, let's not talk about me in the shower.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So the tankless water heater, things like occupancy sensors, which turn off lights. You'd be surprised how many times you can walk out of a room and leave the light on.
Well, I've noticed even here at LPA, like we were waiting for this conference room to become available, and that the lights will just turn on if you walk in, but then when you leave, like within minutes, or not even minutes really, seconds, they're just boop, they're off again.
Exactly.
People don't even have to touch. It's like being on the Enterprise, now that I think about it in this place. It just knows. The building knows.
But that's a really great way to look at it, because I think a green building does have to be somewhat intuitive.
Yeah.
It has to sort of predict how you are going to behave in that building and you know, respond to that. And that's kind of one thing I was looking at with my house. You know, how can I make my house smarter than I am?
Yeah.
Which wasn't too difficult.
So. The other question that I want to ask, and then we can wrap this up, but is like, do you have any tips or pointers that you can offer, like, say, somebody who's living in a situation like a Hortense de Quad, where they're renting? What are some things that people can do that are simple, that beyond, like, say, an incandescent light bulb, whatever Al Gore hasn't already told us? You know what I mean? Like, is there anything off the top of your head that maybe you could say, hey, try this out. This also will help you out a lot, you know? Because I know that when you're renting, you can't really, like, rip out windows and put in energy efficient. Or maybe you can. Talk to your landlord about what they're willing to, because in a lot of ways, you'll be improving their property. You know what I mean?
And maybe I was like a landlord's dream when I was renting, because I would do things like that.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
Hey, can I replace this floor? Can I, you know?
I haven't gotten to that level, but I have replumbed a sink or two.
Done
that, where I'll be like, well, it's not out of nobility, really. It's because the crazy landlord that I have, it takes him literally 3 months to send somebody, so it's easier for me
just
to drop the
yourself,
$8 at Home Depot and some PVC plumbing and go, meep, 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 done, forget it, thank you. Now I don't have to worry about it leaking all over my candles. Not mine, my wife's, but whatever.
No, but there's lots of things you could do on a personal level that have nothing to do with the actual environment, just how you live your life. You know, I mean, a lot of people don't know there are cold water detergents out there where you don't have to actually use the hot water cycle in your washing machine.
Which I have learned from wardrobe people, for those of you that don't know. Cold water is better to wash your clothes
in.
Right?
Exactly.
It not only does it get stains out better, from what I've told, but it also doesn't damage the fabric.
Exactly.
And drying your clothes is actually what does most damage to your clothes.
Yep.
If you find that your whites are turning gray, it has nothing to do with your Tide or your lack of Clorox. It has to do with your dryer being too hot. That's what I've learned. You're welcome, America.
So that's a great thing. I mean, separating your recyclables. You'd be surprised how many people don't do that.
Yes.
What are some other good things? I'm a real stickler on food waste, too.
Oh,
and
boy.
I don't, like, everybody always jokes when they open our refrigerator. I actually have two refrigerators because they're sustainable. I bought them there from a company called The Natural Home. They only use the same amount of power as a 20-watt light bulb. But they're real narrow. So I got two so that I can also keep them at different.
Your refrigerator is like an easy bake oven.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
You're welcome. You're welcome again. I'm again. He likes my analogies.
I should have brought a pad.
It's okay. It's recorded, bro. You just download it on the internet. Like, you can fast forward through all the parts about the painful Proud Mary experience. Don't worry about that. You don't have to relab that every time.
Rochelle, you're not going to put this on our office internet, are you? This could be really embarrassing. Like they don't know it all.
Yeah.
Like
they saw you.
To be embarrassing.
You wore the King Tut silk shirt to the Halloween party, bro. You're out.
No, but I did wear a Donna Summer t-shirt once, too.
Really?
Yeah, because I went as myself at 18. I wore a long blonde wig and a Donna Summer t-shirt.
Yes, please.
They're still talking about that.
I'm a big fan. I interrupted you with my stupidity. Were there any other tips or pointers? You were saying
the refrigerators.
Yeah.
So people open my refrigerators and there's like nothing in them because I don't like to waste food.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty much the type that will buy food for that day and cook it and eat it and done with it. And you know, leftovers aren't something that I have sitting around because you typically wind up throwing those away anyway.
Yeah.
But then what enables me to do with the two refrigerators is you keep beverages in one, food in the other, and you're able to adjust the temperature so you use even less energy in the one where you can turn the temperature down. So. There you go.
This guy. I like this. Here's what I think now I need to have happen. I don't know what this would cost me, but I would love to set you up with a lunch date with my wife so you could explain to her the idea of wasting food. My wife, you see, here's the thing. This is the one difference between you and I, D'Amato. I'm a big fan of the leftover. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan. I love it. I'll make a big dinner, and I will eat it for a week. I don't care.
Well, as long as you eat it and don't throw it away.
I don't.
Oh, yeah. See,
Mrs. Worsham, however, not a fan. My wife loves to make food like she's cooking for a small platoon. And and then never lets. Then it,
so
and
you
then,
married an Italian. That's good.
No, German. Worse.
Oh, really?
Yes. Angry, angry, angry need for making food and lack thereof. Lots of anger happened. She curses at my child, D'Amato. I know this isn't what we're here to talk about. But she does. She gets angry at the dog. Seriously.
Do you want to come live at Los Frutos?
So. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? I'm surprised you're not running a halfway house out of that place already. You post pictures of this beautiful home on the internet. Why are people just knocking on your door and going, I can live here?
I put a wall up, so that doesn't happen.
They knock on the wall.
There's a buzzer. It's great.
Is it like Secret Agent House where you don't know where the door is?
Well, no. This was what's really stupid. I put this wall in, right? And you could kind of see over the wall if you stand on your tippy toes. But I'm a short guy. So when I was there, I was like, yeah, this looks good. This is a good height. But you press the buzzer at the door, and you could see me going in to where the buzzer is to say, who is it, please? So I've got like eye shot at the person. So it's just, you just really kind of voids the whole
purpose of the wall,
thing, you know? So that wasn't my best move.
Yeah, it's built to scale for the D'Amato.
Exactly.
And not for the average person who maybe not even a minute bull. We're talking just a guy who's 6 foot tall, average size. And
I built it sort of Stanley Tucci height, you know?
Oh, D'Amato.
If you walk into the house and they always go, why are all the pictures so low? You know, everything's sort of my eye height. You know?
Yeah, because it's for you. Here.
Exactly.
Who are these friends of yours?
You know, Frank Lloyd Wright used to build everything for his size.
Yeah.
So if you ever go into like a Frank Lloyd Wright building, you'll notice that like the ceilings are a little lower in some places. His furniture was built. He was built really strangely in that he was a short man, but he had really long thighs.
Uh-huh.
So if you sit on his furniture, the seat of the furniture is typically
really
very deep, but they're very low off the ground.
Wow.
So tall people aren't comfortable in his houses, but man, I'm right at home.
you and Wright are you like brothers?
I love it.
You Wright and Tavares together? Oh, man. Nailed it! I want to first. Then we're going to end this. But I want to talk to you real quick about these friends that you have coming over, judging your pictures, judging what food is in your refrigerator.
My friends are very judgmental.
Yeah,
my friends.
We got to talk about that, D'Amato. You don't need that in your life. I mean, come on, you're on HDTV, or HGTV too.
Oh God, he knows.
In high definition,
oh,
I googled you.
Wasn't in high def at the time. Thank God. That's why I had to get out, you know? And they keep trying to pull me back.
They pull you back in. That's right, Corleone. Oh, man. Thank you so much for being on the show. We'll put a link in the description where you can see Los Flores. Sans webcam, unfortunately. Looks like somebody put the kibosh
on
that.
We'll talk about that after.
Yeah, it gets all Jennifer Aniston-y on us. But anyway, thanks so much. On behalf of my new best friend, Rick D'Amato, this is Justin Horsham saying, okay, bye. Thanks for listening to the Second Funniest Podcast. You can reach us at 408-228-4911 or send us an email to podcast@justincomedy.com. Please, once a month, vote for us at Podcast Alley. Also, check out our store at cafepress.com/justincomedy. All this information is available at secondfunniestpodcast.com. I'm going to be at the Sacramento Punchline March 11th through 14th. The Laugh Out Loud Comedy Club in San Antonio, Texas, March 17th through 21st. April 28th through May 1st, I'm going to be at the Pechanga Casino with Darren Carter in Temecula, California. I'm going to be co-headlining at Wits End in Westminster, that's in Denver, near Denver, Colorado, July 14th through 18th. I'm going to be coming back to Rooster Teeth Feathers July 22nd through 25th. For all of my stand-up appearances, check out justincomedy.com. If you like this podcast, check out my other podcast called Dads Are More Fun. You could go to dadsaremorefun.com or just search for Dads Are More Fun in iTunes.